human beings have a very high capacity to do foolish things, don't they? Like trying to cook an egg in the microwave without cracking the egg, without cracking the yolk. I don't know if you've ever done that, or perhaps you know someone who's filled up their friend's petrol car with diesel. Or maybe you know someone who's cut off the branch of a tree only for it to swing down below them, take out the ladder, and then they end up on the ground. Now, I think humans have a very high capacity to do foolish things. And maybe you're thinking about some of the foolish things that you've done right now. I remember sitting by a fire a number of years ago and thought it would be funny to put a can of baked beans on the fire. All my mates thought it was really funny at the time until every one of us was covered in hot baked beans. And we do some really foolish things, don't we? Now today, as Paul tells the Galatians, that they've been foolish. It's a strong rebuke. And I want you to look at Galatians 3 verse 1 where it says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Now, no one likes to be called foolish. But Paul does it directly to them. He calls them out because someone has tricked them. And he says that in verse 1 too. "Who has bewitched you?" Now, this is a word that can be used of someone giving you the evil eye or to curse you, to throw you into confusion and to trick you into believing a lie. Who has bewitched you? Now, Paul takes this strong stance because big things are at stake. So I want to remind us of where we've come so far in Galatians. Now, Paul has clearly explained to them that there is only one gospel. The gospel is Jesus' sacrifice for your sin. And last week we heard how that functions. We're all sinners and we're never going to be good enough to please God. So Jesus died and gives us his goodness. This is what Matt was talking about when he said we're justified by faith and not just by works. Being justified is sometimes referred to as a legal declaration of how God sees us. It's a bit like the name tags we all have on our chest. Each name declares to those around us what our name is. It's our identity. And when you trust in Jesus and you trust that his blood covers over all your sin, well, then you get a new name tag. And it says, justified by faith. When you trust that Jesus covers your sin, you get this name tag. Now, you may still fail. You may still struggle with sin. But you have a new identity in Jesus. Justified by faith. And as Paul wrote to the Galatians, he spoke to them harshly. Because they've received the gospel. They've trusted in Jesus. They've been given this title, justified by faith. But someone's come along and taught them that they need to add something to make sure that they're really justified by faith. They were tricked into thinking they needed to do something for God to accept them. And Paul says to them, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Now, I can imagine that those who received this letter were upset by what they heard. And Paul goes on, and rather than pointing out their foolishness, Paul answers the question, well, how not to be a fool? And that's what we're going to look at today. How not to be a fool. And there's three ways, and you can see them in your outline in your bulletin there. So have that open and have your Bibles opened. And the first way we see, the first way that Paul reminds the Galatians how not to be a fool was to look at their own experience. Look at their own experience. And Paul goes on to what they understood happened when they came to faith in Jesus. Paul reminds them in verse 1 that Jesus was crucified before their very eyes. Now he's reminding them that the gospel was preached to them clearly. Paul taught them the gospel, and as we've seen outlined over the last few weeks, Paul says to them, "You heard it clearly, so clearly that Jesus was crucified before your very eyes." And then this section till verse 6 is full of questions. And all these questions are pointing out to the Galatians that there's two roads to go down. There's the road of justification by faith, And there's the road of justification by works. The road of justification by faith is the road where trust in Jesus is all that's required to be safe from your sin. But the road of justification by works is where people trust in their own ability to please God and to please him by their own merits. And what we see in this section is that Paul says, if you think you can get to heaven by your own works, by your own merits, then that's the way of fools. The road of justification by works is a foolish road because no one can do enough to please God. So let's look at these questions together. He starts in verse 2 and we'll look at the comparison between these two roads that Paul presents. Verse 2 says, let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? There's the two roads, faith and works. And then look at what he says in verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? See, Paul wants them to see their own foolishness here. They've started down the path of justification by faith, but now they've jumped over to the road of justification by works. These people understood the gospel. They heard the right gospel that justification is by faith alone, through Christ alone, but now they've been tricked into a different gospel, one that takes them down the path of works, which Paul earlier said in the gospel, well, it is no gospel at all. So Paul says to them, don't be a fool. He reminds them of their sufferings in verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain, even if indeed it was in vain? See, these people have experienced the Spirit in their lives and may have been persecuted for following Jesus. And so Paul says, what did you experience? Do you remember how Jesus came into your life and changed you? Do you remember what you were standing up for? Was it all in vain? See, Paul's at pains to remind them that they know what the truth is. They know it. And their experience should tell them that the road of justification by faith is the right road. It's the only road. To walk down the road of justification by works is to go against all that they have experienced and all that they know to be true. And if they go down that road, it's the road that declares them to be fools. That's what Paul reminds them of here. Their own experience should tell them how not to be foolish. They believed God, they trusted God, and God accepted them as they were. It's like I was trying to explain to the kids in the kids' talk. Many things in life we know to be true. Many of us commute to work, and I remember thinking about things on the way home from work, and when I opened the door at home, I would think, how did I get between that place and that place? I don't remember. Our bodies are so conditioned just to get us a certain way home because we've done it so many times and we know it to be true, and we arrive home and we think, wow, I'm home. And when we come to Jesus, we know the truth of how we got here. We've known Jesus for a long time. But like the Galatians, we too need the reminder that being justified isn't about the clothes we wear or having the right hairstyle or even how much money we give. Our justification is from Jesus Christ and his sacrifice alone, nothing else. And we need that reminder, don't we? Now, the second way that Paul tells them how not to be foolish is by giving them a history lesson. Now, in this history lesson, in verses 5 to 9, Abraham is the center of attention. Now, we're going to keep going back to Abraham over the next few weeks. So if you're not familiar with Abraham, you might want to read Genesis 12 to 15 over the next couple of weeks, because that's really going to help. And what Paul teaches about Abraham is that it's always about faith. By faith is the way that God wants to rescue his people. That's what history tells us, and that's what we see when we look at Abraham. See, it says in verse 6 that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. See, Abraham trusted God at his word. God told something to Abraham, and Abraham believed. Now, the response here that we see in Galatians is from Genesis chapter 15. But up until Genesis chapter 15, Abraham has had a number of opportunities to trust God, and there's a few after that where he's had opportunities to trust God. He was told to leave country and family, and he trusted that God would care for him. He gets told that he'll be a great nation, and without any children, well, how does he respond? Well, he trusted God at his word. He gets worried about his future inheritance, and God tells him what will happen, and how does Abraham respond? Well, he trusted God at his word. He gets told to sacrifice his one and only son, and what does he do? He trusted God at his word. See, the history lesson here is, look at Abraham, because he is the model of faith. But it's not only about looking to Abraham, is it? No, this is about how God considers someone righteous. We're told a very important lesson in verse 8. And I want you to, you might want to underline this or note this down in your Bibles. Look at it with me, verse 8. It says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all nations be blessed.'" This is a picture that through a descendant of Abraham, through Jesus, all nations will be blessed. It's about how God will accept people into his kingdom, the same way he accepted Abraham. When Abraham believed, it was credited to him as righteousness. And it's the same for us. When we believe that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection covers over all our sin, we too will be credited or declared or be given the name tag, justified by faith. See, that's the history lesson that Paul gives to the Galatians. How not to be a fool? Take God at his word. Trust his plans for you. Know your history and know, as it says in verse 7, that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. That's why we study history still today, isn't it? We want to learn from the past and not make the same mistakes, or learn from the past and do what our ancestors did. And so we need to remind ourselves. How did we receive the Spirit? How did you come to know Jesus? Just like the Galatians, it was by faith, not by works. So stop relying on your works and trust what Jesus has done. Remember that we're justified by faith alone because Jesus has done everything for us already. See, that's how history helps us. Now, the last way we're told how not to be foolish is because Jesus helps you. Now, before we see how Jesus helps us, we need to look over what Paul says to the Galatians who aren't trusting in Jesus. Now, this whole passage has been full of very strong language. Paul calls the Galatians fools. He told them that they've been bewitched. And now in this section, we see that he tells them that they're under a curse. It's not an easy letter to read, and for good reason. It seems like they'd stopped trusting in Jesus and were relying on their own works. And as a result, they're placing themselves back under a curse. He's warning them to remember what God has done for them already, because all who rely on their own works are cursed. Look at verse 10 with me. It says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" Now, as you look at verse 10, there's a very important word here that we shouldn't overlook. It's the word rely. In this case, it means to depend on with full trust or with full confidence. Now, many of us do this when we sit down on the chairs we're on. We just flop ourselves down, we drop into a chair, and we completely, with full confidence, we think that the chair is going to hold us up. Paul wants them to be clear that if you rely or trust with full confidence that you are able to complete the law of God, then you are under a curse. And he says this because if you think you can do part of it, then you remain under a curse until you're able to do all of it. Everything that it commands you to do. But the trouble is, none of us are able to do all of it. Therefore, if you try, you remain under a curse. In simple terms, this means that if we think our lives have been good enough for God to accept us, then we are living under a curse. Now, this is pretty bad news if all you've done your whole life is rely on your good works. If you've lived your life thinking that you're not too bad, that, or even perhaps if you look at others around you and think, well, I'm not as bad as they are, then you're probably trusting in your own abilities to please God. And Paul says, if this is you, then you're under a curse. Now, as I started this point, I said that Jesus helps us. That's the answer to the question, how not to be a fool. So how does Jesus help the Galatians not to be a fool? How does he stop them from being a curse? Well, after Paul reminds them in verse 11 that no one is justified by their works, and in verse 12 that the law is not of faith, Paul gave them a picture of great news in this passage. He reminded them what Jesus did, what the Christ or the Messiah has done for them. So please open your Bibles and look at verses 13 and 14 and read it with me. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Everyone was under a curse until Jesus became the curse for them. Can you see that in verse 13? Jesus died on a cross, and Paul makes the comparison between the tree and the cross. And he says that because Jesus was hanged on a cross or the tree, he was cursed. And what this means is that instead of the curse remaining on the Galatians, they are set free because Jesus has become the curse for them. They trusted in Jesus' sacrifice for them. So to answer our question, how not to be a fool, the answer is, well, let Jesus be the curse for you. Now, this is a wonderful truth that we need to keep reminding ourselves. Hear me saying to you today that there is no need to remain under the curse because Jesus has set you free. When we moved to Ecuador, people kept on telling us to put something red on our kids, and they said it would avoid the evil eye. It was a big part of the culture. And for a long time, people kept saying to us, you need to put something red on your kids. You need to avoid the evil eye. Strangers would come up to us and tell us. And because our kids had blonde hair in a black-haired culture, we got lots of attention. Paul doesn't say to the Galatians, if you want to avoid being cursed, then put on something red. No. He says, if you want to avoid being cursed, then trust in Jesus. Stop trusting yourself. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus who was cursed for you. See, this is how not to be foolish. So what does all this mean for us? We've seen that Paul gives us a clear picture of how not to be foolish. Experience told them that they were accepted based on faith. History told them that Abraham was accepted by God by faith and not works. And then finally, we've seen that Jesus helped them because he became the curse for their sins. And as we look at each of these things, we know these things to be true for us too, don't we? For those who have placed their trust in Jesus, you know that you were never good enough for God to accept you. You've heard that Jesus gave his life for you, and now you rely 100% on him. You know the history of how you came to believe, and it wasn't by works, it was by faith. And you know too that Jesus' death on the cross wasn't in vain, but it was his death but through his death he became the curse for you, and he took away the curse that was on each one of us. See, Paul wants all followers of Jesus to make sure they're on the right road. It's almost like there's the road of blessing and there's the road of curse. And we're being told here to walk down the road of blessing, to stop walking down the road of curse. Now, if you're walking down the road of trusting in Jesus alone, then you are on the road of blessing. So remain on that road. Rely on Jesus' death for you. And rely on him and know that you are fully loved because of the road you're on. And that road is the road of faith. It's the road of being justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. But if you're walking down the road of curse, then the road of trusting and relying on all that you do, then God is saying to you today, look at how these people have come to faith. Look at the history. Look at Abraham. Look at what Jesus has done for you, and get on the right road, the road of faith. Don't rely on the law for blessing, but rely on faith. So what do you rely on? We rely on many things in life. We have a reliance on health insurance, car insurance, home insurance. We rely on people around us to get things done. We rely a great deal on things outside of ourselves. And the story here is no different, is it? We're being told here to rely on someone outside of ourselves, to rely on Jesus and Jesus alone, to let him become the curse for us and take away all fear. Now, what this means for you and me is that our eternal life is wrapped up in what Jesus has done for us. It has nothing to do with what I can do for him. This isn't about living godly lives for Jesus. We're going to see that next week. Sorry to say. This week is all about your reliance on Jesus, who has made you as perfect as himself, who has died for you because he loves you. Now, for me, this means I'm going to delight in what Jesus has done for me. I want to make a point of remembering that without Jesus, I'd still be under a curse. And I need to remind myself that you too, like me, are loved and accepted by God no matter who you are and where you come from. So as we leave today, my prayer is that you too can see the wonderful nature of this gospel, this saving work of Jesus for you, and that you can remind yourself of Jesus' love for you and remember that those around you are also accepted and loved just as you are. See, there's no need for you to be someone before Jesus loves you, and there's no need for you to be someone for us to love you. Come just as you are. Trust in Jesus and know that your life is in his hands. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for your saving work for us. We ask that you give us the confidence to trust in you and your work and to stop relying on our own good deeds. Lord, for some of us, this is going to be hard. So we ask that you deal with us gently. Help us to see how we are relying on ourselves and to turn ourselves over to trusting in you. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus, who became a curse for us. Amen.